And good morning, and welcome to La Porte Church of Christ. It is April 5th, 2026, and it's what the world calls Easter. And we don't celebrate Easter here at the La Porte Church of Christ. And most of you know that. And apparently I already ticked some people off this morning, which I guess that was pretty good before I even got up to the pulpit. Not that I wanted to by any means, but I sent out, I got a couple Happy Easter texts, and I sent them this picture that I was working on last night. Go ahead and bring up that first slide there, Justice. It says, we celebrate Passover, not a pagan holiday called Easter. Honor the Lamb of God and not pagan traditions. And there on the left, you can see, as you're looking at the screen, you know, the Bible and the Lamb and communion, and on the right, the Easter bunnies and the Easter eggs and the Ishtar goddess. And that's what I really believe that a lot of people are celebrating today. And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. But it's before we get started, we are going to go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day to be here, and we come before you. And Lord, we're grateful for those that join us here in person and those that join us through the internet and through DVD Church. And we just ask, Father, that you bless us as we assemble here together. Praise your name. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We ask, Father, that you be with these messages wherever they may go, and that you just continue to awaken your people. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. The message that we had by Pastor Peters was entitled, Sheep, Snakes, Sorcery, and Spells. And if you missed that message, we're going to have it in the next hour. One of the scriptures going along with that message that I wanted to start off by reading this morning is, I think it's probably one of my favorite psalms. It's found in Psalms 37. It says, security of those who trust in the Lord, insecurity of the wicked. Do not fret because of evildoers, and do not be envious towards wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land, and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees his day coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and bent their bow to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. The sword will enter their own heart, and their bows will be broken. And it goes on, and if I had time, I'd finish reading it. But I believe that that really ties in with the message that Pastor Peters just preached. And it's, you know, it's truth. It's things that we need to, we as Christian soldiers and as the body of Christ need to stand on. And we need to believe it. We need to, you know, walk it in our everyday lives. I know there's times when, just like Pastor Peters was talking, you know, there's sometimes that you just feel like, you know, you just can't go on. You feel like you're a failure at everything. And when I feel that way, if I read the scripture, I always feel better after reading it. And that's Psalms 37. I encourage you to take that to heart. We're going to have a song, and this one is Nothing But the Blood of Jesus.
What can wash away? sing this pipe plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
As we come to together today, just had a few things that I wanted to talk about as far as Easter goes. We must remember that this is a sacred time. It was never meant to be shared by the traditions of men, but by the Word of God. Today, many in the world celebrate what is called Easter, a day filled with eggs, rabbits, sunrise services. But we must ask the simple question, did Christ command us to observe us? And that answer is simply no. The origins of Easter. The word Easter itself does not come from Scripture. Historically, it has been linked to ancient pagan worship, often associated with fertility rites, and a goddess commonly referred to as Ishtar, or similar names across different cultures. These celebrations are centered around fertility symbols, eggs and rabbits, seasonal renewal rites, and pagan worship practices that predate Christianity. God warned his people clearly in Deuteronomy 12:30. Take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them, that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods, that I also may do likewise? That's Deuteronomy 12:30. And yet over time, these traditions were blended into what many now call a Christian celebration. I mean, all the churches around here, I've seen signs in front of them come celebrate Easter. And the churches around here will be packed today. They'll have Easter egg hunts, and they'll have potlucks and all that kind of stuff, and Easter Bunny will be present. And what did God command? He said in Luke 22:19, he said that we are to do this in remembrance of him. And he wasn't talking about celebrating Easter. Jesus never told us to celebrate his resurrection with pagan symbols. Instead, he gave us some sacred, simple, and eternal instructions. And that was on the Passover. He established communion rooted in Passover, not in pagan tradition. Christ is our Passover. The Apostle Paul makes it unmistakably clear in 1 Corinthians 5 and 7. For Christ, our Passover, also has been crucified. This is what we remember today. The Lamb without blemish. His blood that was shed for our deliverance, the fulfillment of everything Passover pointed to. Just as Israel was delivered from Egypt by the blood of the on the doorpost, we are delivered from sin and death by the blood of Jesus Christ. Why we do not celebrate Easter? We do not reject the resurrection, and far from that. We proclaim it, but we reject man-made traditions added into God's commands. We reject pagan practices dressed in Christian language. We reject anything that replaces or distorts what Christ established. And God is clear in Deuteronomy 12:31, "You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way." The original command of perpetual ordinance was found in Exodus 12:14. "Now this day will be a memorial to you. You shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance." Those are some of the scriptures that we read on Passover. We celebrated Passover here from the LaPorte Church of Christ on April 2nd, and I believe that that is the correct day. And we've got a book entitled Solar Sanity versus Lunar Lunacy in Calculating the Passover. Fantastic book, and it's one of those books I find myself going back to it just about every year on calculating the Passover, trying to make sure that I got it right. And we do offer that book. It's available for a $10 donation. If you'd like to it, like it, just you let me know, write to me, and I'll make sure that you get it. It's a fantastic book. Exodus 12:24 says, "And you shall observe this event as an ordinance for you and your children forever." Exodus 12:6 says, "You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill at twilight." Exodus 12:11 says, "It is the Lord's Passover." It's also reaffirmed in the law in Leviticus 23:5. "In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at twilight, is the Lord's Passover." Numbers 9:13 is a warning against neglecting it. "But the man who is clean and is not on a journey and yet neglects to observe the Passover, that person shall then be cut off from his people, for he did not present the offering." As Passover was, this year I was actually really very humbled about, you know, the number of people that that wrote in and called and emailed and said that they observed the Passover with us, and very grateful for that. Was disappointed on that there was some that didn't, and I encourage you that if you didn't take remember the Passover, God does give you a second chance. And I don't have the scripture in front of me. I thought I had it wrote down, but I wrote down the wrong one. But it is, I know it's there, and I can find it, but it's going to take me a minute. Anyway, it was, Passover is so important that he gave us a second chance. And you can observe Passover 30 days later after the original Passover, and that would be May 30th, I believe. May 2nd, which is a Saturday. And if you would like to celebrate Passover, we did record our services, and we have it available on a DVD, and we're going to be making and sending out DVDs tomorrow. And if you'd like that, just let us know. We'd like to send it to you free of charge. And it's very important. And I believe that this Passover is a very important Passover. In light of everything that's going on in the world, and do want to just encourage you to observe it. Take communion, observe the Passover. If you didn't do it, take that second chance. 30 days later, May 2nd, it's a Saturday, and we'll be playing that broadcast also on the network. So you can join us online if you'd like to do it that way. But that's what I had to say and wanted to share with you this morning. As the world calls it Easter, we say there's a lot of people that call it Resurrection Sunday. But we celebrate Passover, and I'm very thankful for those of you that joined us for Passover, and really appreciate that. We've got a message coming up. Ask Brother Zach to do a message on the food laws. Had several people that newcomers that have called in and said that they don't understand this food law thing, and they've been told their whole life that they didn't need to observe the food laws and wanted to know why. So it brought up. I talked to Brother Zach, and we started putting some stuff together, and we're gonna have that message.
And greetings to the once lost but now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, April 5th, we here at the LaPorte Church of Christ welcome all of you out there here this morning. We're glad that you are able to join us, and we're going to begin by defining who Jesus Christ is. He never changes, therefore we never change in how we define him. And that's found in John chapter 1. I begin by reading in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glories of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that is the definition of who Jesus Christ is. He is the Word that became flesh. So last week, we talked about what we were going to talk about this week. I hope all of you were able to join us on Thursday evening for the Passover sermon, and you were able to take a Passover communion. If you were not able to take over Passover communion, you have to wait. I'm sure Jason will tell you, but you have to wait 30 days. I believe it's 30 days. I'm terrible. I can't remember. But there is a do-over day, and I'm sure Brother Jason will talk. We'll go over that with all of you out there that may have not been able to make it. And I'd like to give you guys one bit of advice. If you were not able to take it, and you did not take it, the Passover is for baptized believers. I would advise you, before you step into something like that, to be baptized, know exactly what you're doing before you step into that. Because the Passover is a sacrifice. It's a Passover. It's a protection contract that God has with his people. It's a big deal. So if you haven't, if you're not right with God, you know, make sure you got everything squared away before you do it. So last week, there was a request about going over the food laws. And there is a mentality that those food laws don't apply anymore among the Judeo-Christians, and it just ain't so. As God said, I am the Lord God. I do not change. So next week, we're going to go into Peter's mentality on the vision that the Judeo-Christian preachers, the Baal priests, have convinced his people that those laws don't apply, and you can pretty much put anything in your mouth that you want, and it doesn't matter. But we're going to go over those laws, but I'd like to start out in Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to read in verse 10, and it says, finally, be strong in the Lord, and in his strength and might. So what is Paul saying here? Be strong in the Lord. Well, who's the Lord? The Lord is Jesus Christ. He's the Word that became flesh. It is our duty as soldiers of Christ to be educated in his word. We're to be strong in it. We're supposed to know it. We're supposed to know the end game. And that is how we are supposed to walk. Put on the full armor of God so that way you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. What we're talking about here with these food laws and all the violations of God's law and how the Judeo-Christian ministries have convinced his people, what it is a scheme of the devil to weaken our people, to weaken Jesus' church. It's a scheme of the devil. I continue by reading. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly host. What is Paul saying here? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers, against powers. Can you see a power? Can you feel a power? Well, you can probably feel it. But it's against a mentality and authority that's been placed over people. What does Jesus do? He takes that heavy yoke and puts a light yoke on it, which is his word, his law, which blesses everybody that obey his word. That's what Paul's saying here. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything, stand firm. You're educated. Your conduct is right. You know what's going on. You know the boundaries that Jesus has given us. Verse 14. Stand firm, therefore, having girded yourself, girded your loins with truth. That's what we study here, is the truth. We only want the truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, that's our conduct. How are we going to act in situations? What are we going to put in our mouth? What leaves our mouth? I don't have to tell anybody that I'm a Christian. When they deal with me, and hopefully with you, they know that you're a straight shooter. God loves straight shooters. Jesus loves straight shooters. That's what we're designed to be. We're designed to be righteous, and our yes be yes, our no be no. Right is right, wrong is wrong. We're not going to question it. That's just the way it is. Nobody's got to watch their back when they're dealing with one of us. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we walk in these ways. It's non-negotiable, period. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You cannot argue against the Word of God. The Word of God is the final authority. This double-mindedness, this double-think, is against the Word of God. It is, well, it keeps us in bondage. Well, God's people in bondage, because they don't interpret the Word of God properly. The Word of the Lord is a sword. You can argue with it, but it's not going to do you any good. And that's it. So the food laws are important. It's in the Word of God. If it wasn't important, it wouldn't be there. As you sit there and you talk to people as they're, you know, partaking of these unclean meat, and they want to argue with you, that's their deal. But as for me and you, we're not going to partake in that. So, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Deuteronomy. I'm going to find my place here. Chapter 14. So, for the most part, biblical law with food is generally dealt with in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy chapter 14. And what is God trying to do? Like, let's just step back a little bit. What is God trying to do for his people? What is God's instruction doing for his bride. Now, let's just think about it. If you follow these laws, and it's mainly about meat, what kind of meat you and I can eat, what's the end goal in God's mind? Well, I'm going to step out a little bit. The end goal in God's mind is to keep his people healthy, is to keep his bride healthy and strong and disease-free. I mean, just sit there and think about it. Why would he tell us to do these things? Why would he tell us not to do these things? It's in order to keep his bride on top. It's in order to keep his people the head and not the tail. Meanwhile, all these people are convinced that it doesn't matter. It was done away with. Meanwhile, what the Lord is trying to do is just keep you from disease, to keep you healthy. Just think about it. Like, it's for your own good. And when you read them and you start to think about it, like, well, why would I eat this? Why would, I mean, there's just certain things that when you read, like, it's just natural in individuals like you and I, the Anglo-Saxon, the true Israel. He's just giving you guidelines to keep you healthy. He's looking out for you, just as any husband would. He looks out for his bride. He looks out for his family. He gives them instruction in order that they don't fail, that they're healthy, that they're prosperous. Now, is that husband going to step out and give the enemy the same instruction? No. It is. I know it sounds cruel, but it is what it is. So if you have your Bibles, we'll begin by reading in Deuteronomy chapter 14. And just pay attention to how the Lord speaks to his people. Verse 1. You are sons of the Lord, your God. But just think about that statement. You are sons of the Lord, your God. That's a pretty high place in the pecking order as far as this world goes. You are sons of the Lord, the guy that spoke and said, let there be light. The guy that spoke everything into existence. Our forefathers were taken from the ground. We are sons of the living God. That should just make you feel like, whoa, I'm a cut above everybody else. You shall not cut yourselves nor shave your forehead for the sake of the dead. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. So if you step back into Genesis, that multitude of nations, you are supposed to be a holy people. Israelites are supposed to be a holy people for his possession. And you and I, the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are his possession. Meanwhile, they've had their identity hidden from them. They've had all kinds of leaven put in their brain. But that doesn't matter if you know or don't know. You are his possession. I am his possession. Like my son. If I say something and he goes out and does it and anybody gives him any guff, all he has to say is, my dad said. Think about that, Israel. Israelites, you Anglo-Saxons, your God said that you are his possession. We need to act like it. Verse 3, you shall not eat any detestable thing. For these animals which you may eat, so these are a green light, the ox, the sheep, the goat, the deer, the gazelle, the roebuck, the wild goat, the ibex, I don't know what that is, but I don't have any in Michigan, so I ain't worried about it. The antelope and the mountain sheep. Any animal that divides the hoof and has a split hoof into and chews its cud among the animals, that you may eat. So of the mammals, What does the Bible say? Got to have a split hoof, and it has to chew its cud, period. Red meat. That's what our dad said. It doesn't matter what the fake preachers say. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Our dad said, that is what you may eat. Period. As far as mammals go. Let's continue. Verse 7. Nevertheless, you are not to eat of these animals which chew the cud, or among these that divide the hoof in two, the camel and the rabbit and the stapen or shepen. I don't know what that is. For they chew the cud. They do not divide the hoof. They are unclean for you, the pig, because it divides the hoof, but does not chew the cud. It is unclean for you. You shall not eat any of their flesh, nor touch their carcasses. These you may eat of all their that are in the water. So what the God's talking about is fish here. Anything that has fins and has scales, you may eat. You're not supposed to eat shrimp. You're not supposed to eat lobsters. You're not supposed to eat eels. You're not supposed to eat catfish. What else is there? There's a bunch of stuff. Sharks, whales, dolphins. You're not supposed to eat it. Because all of those animals that I said that you're not supposed to eat, they don't have scales. Eels don't have fins. Shrimp are bottom feeders. They are unclean for you. If they are designed to be God's cleanup crew out in the wild, what makes you and I think that it's okay to eat? You have to remember, well, fathers, do you sit there and tell your sons the reasoning every single time why you tell them to do what they do? No, I don't. But if you got a son like mine, he's very inquisitive and he hammers me with 87 different questions. And I answer them. Sometimes I get tired of it. But the point is, it's what he said. Just do it. Because you know that your Father in heaven has your best interest out for you. Verse 10. But anything that does not have fins or scales, you shall not eat. It is unclean for you. You may eat any bird, but these are the ones which you shall not eat. So you can eat any bird, but these ones, the eagle and the vulture and the buzzard and the red kite, the falcon, and the kite in their kind, and every raven of its kind, and the ostrich, the owl, the seagull, and the hawk in all their kind, the little owl, the great owl, the white owl, the pelican, the carrion vulture, the cormorant, the stork, the heron in their kind, and the hoopoe, and the bat, and all the teeming life with wings are unclean for you. You shall not eat. You shall not be eaten. They shall not be eaten, excuse me. You may eat any clean bird. So what's the Lord saying? Birds that are birds of prey? Birds that are carrion eaters, don't eat them. They're gnarly. Just stay away from them. They have their place in nature. Leave it that way. Now, I've never been to a restaurant that offers raven or eagle or hawks or anything like that. So that's not generally an issue. I do know of a place that sells ostrich. That's the only one that I know of that you're not allowed to eat. That's goes against biblical law. These are unclean for you and I. If I have time, I'm going to get into Leviticus, and it says some pretty crazy stuff about selling it to other people, so that way they may eat it, because maybe God wants our enemies weak. I don't know. Probably so. Verse 21, you shall not eat anything which dies of itself. You may give it all to the alien who is among your town, well, there you go, so that he may eat it, or you may sell it to a foreigner, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Let's just stop right there. Let me back up into verse 21. You shall not eat anything which dies of itself. So if we have an animal, say you got a cow or a sheep that dies, you and I are not allowed to eat it. Why? Because it dies. It has its intestines in it. It's gaining bacteria. The blood hasn't been drained from the vessel. It hasn't been properly dispatched to be fit for God's people. That's what it's saying. I mean, just think about it. If something lays there and it's laying there for any amount of time, as soon as life leaves an animal, it starts to deteriorate. And it needs to be properly handled for you and I to be putting it on our plate. Now the Lord says, you may give it to the foreigner who's among you. You may sell it for them, but not you. You're my boy. You're my bride. You're my people, my possession. You are separate. That's what the Lord's saying. Because you're mine. I want you healthy. I don't want diseases to inflict you. It sounds like God really cares about you and I. He's trying to keep us safe. He doesn't have a level of care for the others like he does us. Why? It's like a couple years ago, and you guys have all heard the story, the greatest love story never told. Israel, the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is his bride. That's his girl. Why would he give his girl, the love of his life, something bad? What does Jesus say? You know, is somebody going to give their son a curse? A scorpion or whatever? I forget how it goes. No. He wants good for you and me in all things. Whether it be in, you know, whether it's like laws about how you do your finances, how you do business, how you handle criminal cases. In every matter, God has an opinion because he wants things to go well for you and I. As it says, in Exodus, teach these things to your sons and daughters so they will have a good life, things will go well for them. As a society, how have we been doing? Take a look around. How have we been doing? It is our duty. It is our duty to know the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Word that became flesh in all matters. He cares. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to stand out from all other peoples on this planet. He said so earlier in the chapter. You are different. I am different. Why? Because, well, we're the lucky ones. We're the remnant. We know and understand the Word of God. And we apply those principles to our lives in all things. Verse 22. Well, I'm going to stop right there because it goes into tithing. Let's flip over to Leviticus chapter 11. It gets into Leviticus chapter 11. It says it takes a little bit of a different angle. Let's begin by reading the verse 1. The Lord spoke again to Moses and to Aaron, saying to them, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, these are the creatures which you may eat from all the animals that are on the earth. Whatever divides a hoof, thus making split hooves and chooses the cud among the animals, you may eat it. Nevertheless, you are not to eat of these among those which chew the cud or among those which divide the hoof, the camel, for it chews the cud. It does not divide the hoof. It is unclean for you. It is bad for you. This is what God said. Just believe what he says. Just believe the Word of God. That's what we're instructed to do. As I read in Ephesians earlier, the Word of the Lord is a sword. It either works for you or against you. As Pastor Peters used to say, it's a double-edged sword. It works both ways. either work with it or work against it. It's up to each individual. It is their choice. Either work with the word or work against it. But notice it says, it is unclean for you. It's going to get into a little more detail about unclean. Likewise, the chaffin, for it chews the cud, it does not divide the hoof. It is unclean for you. The rabbit also, though it chews its cud, it does not divide the hoof. It is unclean for you. The pig, for it divides the hoof, thus making a split hoof. It does not chew its cud. It is unclean for you. You shall not eat the flesh. You shall not eat their flesh, nor touch their carcass. They are unclean for you. God says here, don't even touch it. Stay away from it. It has its job. Let it do its job. We don't need to be imposing. You know? We don't need to be raising pigs like they do in this country for a food source. It is unclean. Don't even touch it. You shall not eat their flesh, nor touch their carcass. They are unclean for you. These you may eat, whatever is in the water, that have fins and scales, those in the water, in the seas, or in the rivers, you may eat. But whatever is in the sea and in the rivers that does not have fins and scales, among all the teeming life of the water, among all the living creatures that are in the water, they are detestable things for you. They shall be abhorrent to you, and you may not eat their flesh and their carcasses. You shall detest. Whatever in the water does not have fins and scales is abhorrent to you. Leave it alone. That's what the Word of God says. Leave it alone. It's not an option. It's not an option. Sometimes I get into situations at work, and I always weigh my options. Like we were talking earlier about the amount of rain that we're coming, that we have coming down in my state. There are certain things in my business that eliminate my ability. I can't go across people's lawns. If I do, I got to pad down. Right now, we got so much water, it's simply not an option. These foods and animals, their flesh, if it doesn't have a split hoof, and it doesn't chew, they have to have a split hoof, and it has to chew its cud. Those are the mammals. Those you may eat. Anything else is not an option. Thus says Dad. It's not an option. If it doesn't have fins, and it does not have scales, not an option. We know when we read Deuteronomy 28:1-14, if we abide by what Dad says, our God, what Jesus says, then we are what? We are protected. Everything that we do, the Lord will prosper in all things. No. Your option. Know what's not an option. The Bible cannot be any more clear. It is simple. Know your options. Verse 13. I must have drank too much coffee today because I'm having a hard time reading my Bible. These, moreover, you shall detest among the birds are abhorrent. Do not eat, not to be eaten, the eagle, the vulture, the buzzard, the kite, the falcon, and its kind, the raven, and its kind, the ostrich, the owl, and the seagull, and the hawk, and its kind, the little owl, the cormorant, the great owl, the white owl, the pelican, the carrion vulture, the stork, the heron, and its kind, the hoopoe, and the bat, all winged insects that walk on all fours are detestable to you. Yet these things you may eat among the winged insects which walk on all fours, those which have above their feet jointed legs with which to jump on the earth. These of them you may eat, the locust and its kind, and the devastating locust and its kind, the cricket and its kind, and the grasshopper and its kind. But all other winged insects which are four-footed are detestable to you. Now, I'm just going to say this. I'm not really eating into the bugs. But if you're ever in a jam, now you know. Crickets, grasshoppers, locusts. The Lord your God says you can eat it. Not my first choice. I'd much rather take a elk backstrap any day. But if you're in a jam, there you go. Verse 24. By these, moreover, you will be made unclean. Now, I'm going to circle this in my Bible. Now, let me back up to verse 23. But all other insects which are four-footed are detestable. Verse 24. By these, moreover, you will be made unclean. Whoever touches their carcass becomes unclean until evening. What does the Lord say? If you touch it, it doesn't actually say eat it here. But you are made unclean if you deal with these animals. If you touch these animals, if you deal with the carcass, you are made unclean. In my opinion, this is like when Peter had the vision of the sheet, and we're going to get into like the mechanics of how all that worked next week. He didn't want to be made unclean. And the Lord said, don't say anything that I've made clean, unclean. But the law says, if you touch the carcass, like, what did Jesus say when the sheep came down? Kill and eat. It means you had to touch it. Peter's looking at it, well, I'm going to be made unclean if I touch it, more or less put it in my mouth. But these dealings, our God says, makes you unclean. And if you touch it, you're unclean till evening. You got to wash up. Verse 25. And whoever picks up any of their carcasses shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. You hear that? You got to wash up. Wash your clothes. You're going to be unclean until evening. Concerning all the animals which divide the hoof, but do not make a split hoof, or which do not chew the cud, they are unclean to you. Whoever touches them becomes unclean. Also, whatever walks on its paws among all the creatures that walk on all fours are unclean to you. Whoever touches their carcass becomes unclean until the evening. Now, some of you out there are probably like, well, there you go. You used to be a trapper guy. I touched all kinds of stuff. Me, personally, I've touched all kinds of stuff with paws. I was after their hide. I was after money. Maybe I was greedy. I don't know. But the Lord says these animals are unclean. And, yes, that means your dog and cat. I'm not going to bust anybody's chops for having a dog or a cat. I got a cat. I got a dog. Well, I don't have a cat. My kids do. Sometimes I pet them. I got this orange tomcat. I kind of like him. He's kind of laid back. Every once in a while, I'll sit down, I'll pat the top of his head. But God says, you're unclean. You got to wash up. That's what it says. I didn't make the rules. I didn't say it. Our God said it. Verse 28. And the one who picks up their carcasses shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. They are unclean to you. So you see, God's making that distinction. I mean, we know nowadays with all the science, we got all the bacteria, the filth, the diseases that animals can carry. God's telling you to be careful when you have to handle them. That's what he's saying. Clean up. Wash yourself up. Don't walk around with that stuff on you. Verse 29. Now these are to you the unclean among the swarming things which swarm on the earth. The mole and the mouse, and the great lizard and its kind, the gecko, and the crocodile, and the lizard, and the sand reptile, and the chameleon. These to you are unclean among the swarming things. Whoever touches them when they are dead becomes unclean until evening. Also, any thing on which of them that may fall when they are dead becomes unclean, including any wooden article or clothing or skin or sack or any article of which use is made. It shall be put in the water and be unclean until evening, when it becomes clean. As for any earthenware vessel into which of them they may fall, whatever is in it becomes unclean, you shall break the vessel. Well, earthen vessel, clay and stuff like that, that'll absorb whatever's in there. So God says, if it touches it, goes in it, water, get rid of it. Let me back up a little bit here. Into verse 31. These are to you the unclean among the swarming things. Whoever touches them will be, when they are dead. Wait, let me back up. Even more. I'm going to get into the lizards and snakes and stuff like that. Verse 29. Now these to you are unclean among the swarming things which swarm on the earth. The mole, the mouse, the great lizard in his kind, the gecko, the crocodile, and the lizard, and the sand reptile, and the chameleon. These are unclean among the swarming things. Whoever touches them when they are dead becomes unclean until evening. Don't be looking at reptiles. Now, I know they have big rattlesnake feeds and people eat alligators, and snapping turtles is the thing in my area. You're not supposed to eat it. What do these things do? They are the carrion cleaners of the earth. They have their job. Let them do it. It is not for you to go in there and mess with it. It is, these food laws are designed to protect God's people. That is what they are there for. They are to protect you and I, because God wants his people healthy. God wants his people strong. Is it hard to disobey them? You know, you always hear people, pork chops taste good, bacon tastes good, shrimp tastes good. I agree. Back in the day, I used to lean into it. Tastes good. But it's against the will of our Father. When we disobey, what happens? He can't protect us. He can't. It's in his word. In fact, he doesn't want to. We as a Christian nation walk around, we have this guidebook called the Bible. And there are so many walking around that says, so much of it is done away with, when it's just not so. They think that, oh, Jesus, please forgive me. The protection's back. You know, they'll turn around and go right back. And then they wonder why they get cancer and all this other stuff. Now, there are other things in this day and age that we got to work on. Processed food, all these additives, all these preservatives that industries and stuff puts into their food that causes cancer, too. Eat organic. I know it's expensive, but you're going to pay one way or the other. Take your pick. Either eat clean and live a good life and a healthy life. Cancers and the multiple sclerosis, and the list goes on and on and on. There's a part in the Bible where it talks about Israel was firing on all cylinders, and there was not one sick or feeble among them. Why? Because of the amount of obedience that was going on in with all the people. They feared God. They believed God. They trusted God. That's what you and I are supposed to do. Fear him, believe him, trust him, and obey. And with that, I'm out of time. Next week, we're going to get into Paul's mentality to why he took the position that he took when he was having the vision. And what was God's position? That's when it gets actually really interesting. Because I don't necessarily think, but not Paul, excuse me, Peter. Peter was not wrong to say what he said. But Jesus' sacrifice made the 10 northern tribes eligible to partake and to be added back to the body. In my mind, that is what Peter was questioning. And we're going to get into that next week and hopefully debunk these Baal priests and their eating habits. For those of you that are his, may he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you peace. Out.
Amen. I know that that's been a lot of controversy over there, and it's one of the things that I get a lot is, you don't eat pork? And then people say, well, you don't eat bacon? And, you know, they just don't understand. And I appreciate that, Zach. Good foundational teaching on things that we're supposed to be doing. You know, we've got a land full of churches that say that all that stuff is done away with, and I think that we'd have a lot healthier people if they would do what Dad says and follow his food laws. Anyway, before we partake of communion, the scripture that I wanted to read, the one that I couldn't remember, I thought I had it written down, was found in Deuteronomy 9, and it's verses 10 and 11. And this is on the second Passover, and I'd like to read, quote, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if any one of you or of your generations become unclean because of a dead person or is on a distant journey, he may, however, observe the Passover to the Lord in the second month on the 14th day at twilight. They shall observe it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs." And that's the scripture on the second Passover. And that is May 2nd, which would be a Saturday. So we'll be broadcasting that. If you did not observe the Passover with us, then you get a second chance at it. And do encourage you to do it. As we are running out of time, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer before we partake of communion. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in humility, in truth. We thank you for sending your Son, our Passover Lamb, whose blood was shed for our redemption. O Lord, we ask that you cleanse us from the traditions of men. We ask that you root us deeply in your word. As we partake of this bread of the body and drink of the cup of the blood, examine our hearts, refine our walk, and draw us closer to you. Let us be a faithful remnant, walking in obedience, walking in truth, walking in boldness. O Lord, as we partake, we remember the price that was paid, and Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord. No king but King Jesus. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. You may partake.